I'm Tanzina Vega. Welcome back to The Takeaway. Nearly 100 census workers around the country said they had trouble doing their jobs this year because of problems with the technology that was used to get information from Americans for the 2020 census. That's according to reporting from Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. This year, census workers were outfitted with cell phones and a mobile app that was supposed to help them gather data quickly while in the field. But some workers who spoke to Reveal said the technology had a lot of glitches and that the overall process was rushed because of shifting deadlines from the Trump administration. Here's one census worker who spoke to Reveal.
It did start to feel like our attempts were being sabotaged. It got to be pretty demoralizing. Between the data not saving or our phones not working or giving us the wrong start times.
In a statement to Reveal, representatives from the U.S. Census said that they stood by the technology used this year and noted that they had hired more than 300,000 workers to conduct the 2020 census. Here with me now are two reporters from Reveal. Byer Duncan is an engagement and collaborations reporter, and David Rodriguez is the collaborations and community engagement specialist. Welcome to you both.
Hi there.
Thanks for having us.
Byer, tell us about the way the census was carried out this year, which was different than prior years.
Well, to begin with, this was the first time it was carried out using predominantly an iPhone app, a new iPhone app that had some problems from the start. And then what we heard from enumerators across the country was that this app was sending them on these zigzagging routes that were really inefficient. It kept crashing. It took forever to charge their phones in the middle of their shifts. And some of them would see data from their enumeration efforts just disappear in the middle of their shift.
David, this was the first year that this technology, I received a visit from a census worker who took the census on their phone in about 10 minutes. It seemed pretty efficient, but what were some of the technological glitches, David? And how did workers try to get around those?
So some of those glitches are that the app itself would crash during mid-interview. So imagine you're a worker and you finally have someone that's willing to talk with you during this non-response follow-up operation. And one thing that we've heard a lot about is while you're doing this interview part, the app just crashed on you and you had to wait for it. You had to come back later. So workers are assigned cases, addresses to follow up to, and that changes per day. So depending on what happens, like you're either going back to the same house or you're not. Another one was the issue of the GPS sending you completely to a different address that isn't where you're supposed to be, kind of ping-ponging you around town if you're in one apartment, and then you go all the way across town, and then you come back to the first apartment again. And then another one was like the iPhone itself, that the battery would drain pretty rapidly when it lasts you the shift.
Byard, how did census workers think to get in contact with you guys over at Reveal?
So David wrote an initial story that sort of chronicled the technical problems a lot of these workers were having. And then as part of our reporting, we created a web form that census workers could reach out to us through. And we heard, after David's initial reporting, we heard from about 100 of them. And we're still hoping to hear from more. You know, anybody listening could text census to 474747. And I have to say the robotic voice thing of, you know, standard data rates apply. But we are still hoping to hear from more folks. And our reporting on this continues, obviously, as you have a Supreme Court hearing today and further developments about the census later on.
Let's talk a little bit about the Supreme Court hearing. What's expected?
Well, my understanding is that today's hearing is over this question of whether or not Donald Trump has the ability to exclude undocumented folks from the count. I think the Supreme Court ruled earlier that he wouldn't be allowed to include a citizenship question, but in July, he issued a separate memorandum basically expressing that he has the ability as president to exclude folks from the census, and that would go against hundreds of years of census precedent as well as other laws. But we're going to have to wait and see what the Supreme Court says today, and I believe there are oral arguments happening very soon.
I mean, this sounds like it could be it could have been a difficult process to undertake, but did it, any of this actually affect the data? David, do we know if any of these technical discrepancies actually affected whether or not people were able to complete the censuses? Because as I said, I mine was done in about just a couple minutes, you know, at my door.
So right now we're in this process, the data post data collection process, and we don't know that right now for sure. We'll know it once the Bureau does the quality checks. And like every census is very hard. Every single one. It happens every 10 years. And there are communities that are historically undercounted in the census. And then on top of that, on this year, we had the pandemic. Over here on the West Coast, we had fires. A lot of things happened this year that was already going to make the census even harder to count people. So we don't know the implications of the issues that workers were dealing with. But one thing that they've shared a lot with us is their concerns about some of the things they were being told to do.
I'll just add that we heard this again and again from census enumerators and supervisors, this idea that external pressure, you know, pressure from the Trump administration to speed up the process was creating on the ground this environment of sort of like competition or really high urgency to close cases, even if there weren't proper enumeration attempts. And one thing that's been really striking about this is, you know, if you have a system like the census that has historically grappled with including marginalized people to begin with, mm-hmm. it doesn't take some, you know, master scheme to make that exclusion worse. You know, you just need to introduce a little chaos on the ground. Then the corners that get cut, you know, they end up disproportionately hurting those people even more. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing here, whether it's enumerators driving around and counting people who live in RVs and being instructed to assume just one person lives in those RVs, or whether it's, you know, enumerators outside of apartment buildings estimating how many people live there based on the number of bikes or cars parked outside. I think what we might see is that pressure ultimately affecting the count of people who historically have been undercounted anyway.
And was this concentrated in a specific region, the folks that reached out to you, or were you hearing from people across the country?
This was all across the country. And what we heard is now being echoed in a bunch of other places. There's a lawsuit from the Brennan Center for Justice, where enumerators and supervisors have told very, very similar stories about pressure to close cases without proper efforts to reach people. You know, as for the ultimate consequences for the data, like David said, we don't know yet exactly how this will affect the data, but we have some troubling indications. Recently, in a four-sentence press release, the census director, Stephen Dillingham, said that the Bureau had found some anomalies in their data. And NPR just yesterday reported that the census's original goal of getting its final tally to President Trump by December 31st, this being, of course, the goal that they invoked to speed up the process so many times, they're going to miss that goal. And according to reporting from NPR, they're now actually targeting a January 26th goal, which means that the ultimate sign-off for this census is going to land in Joe Biden's hands, not President Trump's.
We'll see how that turns out. Bayard Duncan is an engagement and collaborations reporter, and David Rodriguez is the collaborations and community engagement specialist at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Bayard and David, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.